Merry Christmas and welcome to Middlebrow, a service of Scriptorium Daily, Biola University, and the Torrey Honors Institute. This is John Mark Reynolds. I'm the founder and director of the Torrey Honors Institute, hosting as usual with my esteemed reverend and most long-lived colleague, Paul Spears, sitting in the seat of immortality and power. Say hello to your mother, wow. Paul.
Hello, mother.
Yes, another gripping introduction by me and brilliant and scintillating follow-up. Unfortunately, this week, Fred Sanders, our usual partner in crime, could not be with us. And so, because this is our Christmas podcast, and we wanted to welcome all of you to a Merry Christmas, we decided in the pursuit of the dialectic that we would invite a critic of Christmas, Charlie Chuck Chuckleman. Charlie Chuck Chuckleman is... well, he's a teacher at a school for seminary preachers. That's his self-described thing. He would not, in fact, tell us the location nor give us a web address. But we have it on good authority that he is the nation's foremost critic of Christmas. Now, some of you know that Paul and I are absolute Christmas fanatics. Paul, did you know that I put a Christmas countdown on my computer probably a week after Christmas every year?
No, my wife, I think around October. No, that's too late. Late September, we are occasionally get bouts of Christmas music in the house.
Yeah, as a Christian, I think one of the great things about being a Christian is Christmas. So it's unusual for me to talk to somebody who is both a believer and a critic of Christmas. Charlie, do you mind if I call you Charlie or do you prefer Chuck?
I prefer Dr. Chuckleman.
Dr. Chuckleman. Where'd you go to school?
Out east.
Out east. Okay, that's a big territory. East in the United States or just east in general?
I went to an independent school out east where I received my doctorate.
Okay. Anyway, it doesn't matter what your credentials are.
Is that a PhD, a D-min?
It is a doctorate from a school that is independent.
Is it accredited?
No, like Harvard or like Oxford, it is not accredited.
I see. Okay. What? We're getting bogged down.
No, I'm not ashamed of this. I'm proud that my school did not bow the knee to the regional accrediting monopoly.
Well, yeah, there's a lot to be said with that, Professor Chuckleman. But you are an opponent of maybe the best time of year, Christmas. The Christ
actually the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, it's one of the few times you can walk in. I walked into Disneyland the other day, and there was a giant series of church choirs singing "Glory to God in the highest," and on earth peace, goodwill to men. It was just an awesome thing to see. The straight gospel message read from Luke 2 in front of the train station in Disneyland. I didn't even know it was going on. Got to watch it. You can't be opposed to that, right?
Well, John, you're already misrepresenting my position. I'm not opposed to this time of year. I have nothing against the weather. I have nothing against the cycle of years that God has created.
Well, that's good. It would be hard to be against years.
I don't really see how it's relevant that when you were at Disney so-called land, you heard so-called church, so-called choirs, so-called singing.
Well, I did, in fact, hear church choirs singing, but... what could be bad about the gospel being proclaimed? Now, you know, look, there's something bad about everything. We all know that people have used Christmas abusively, consumerism, commercialism. We've all watched the Charlie Brown Christmas special where Linus straightens us out about this. How can that not be a good thing? What do you have against the birth of Jesus?
I wouldn't have any problem with the Charlie Brown Christmas special and the speech about commercialism delivered in it by the Linus character, except that it's in a Christmas special. And the whole capitulation to this Christmas thing is what I'm against.
Okay, what is the Christmas thing? Maybe we should let you talk and not just attack your view.
Well, thank you for that, John. I don't have time to go into all of the details of the historical origin of Christmas, but basically it's a pagan holiday imposed upon the world with the last dying gasp of paganism by Emperor Pope Julian the Apostate of Norwich. Who imposed this mass of
Saint
minute, Christopher?
Paul, can you work through this for us?
Emperor Pope Saint.
Now you're getting me confused. Paula, thanks for not interrupting me. Pope.
I think John Mark actually interrupted you.
Emperor Pope
or John.
Julian the Apostate of Norwich.
Okay, I think there are at least five people that you have conflated into that description, but okay, just keep going. Tell us your story.
You have to think back to the beginning of the Dark Ages when the pagans realized they were
going
to lose.
What year did the Dark Ages begin?
Just after the Bible times.
In Bible times and with the second coming in the book of Revelation, that'd be everything. We're still in Bible times.
No. The Bible times that the Bible is actually about and written during, of course, and then the Dark Ages begin shortly thereafter, and we enter...
Shortly, like 100 years, five
are
years,
we, Are we still
years?
In the Dark Ages? They ended when?
They ended with the founding of my denomination, which I'm not at liberty to describe.
Okay, I think we'll just let that go.
There were glimmers of hope before that, of course.
Oh, say, Christmas. Where did Christmas come from? It's the Pope Emperor Julian the Apostate of Norwich.
Of yes, Norwegian? Emperor Pope Julian the Apostate of Norwich. And
this
that
is difficult
unholy
to
alliance,
Google, you
the
realize.
Unholy alliance of church and state, where the pagans
what
realized,
state?
The mostly Rome at the time, but Paula, if you knew your biblical symbolism, you'd realize that Rome is symbolic of the globalist government.
Like Trilateralist Commission?
I don't want to be as narrow as attributing this to the Trilateralists.
Okay, so anyway, Christmas comes from this... How, in what way is this pagan? So the emperor declares that there's Christmas. Let's look at it this way. Suppose the president of the United States tells us all we should pray. Now, obviously, that doesn't give a lot of content to it. People could have bad prayers. So this Pope Emperor Julian of Norwich, the apostate, whatever his or her name is, makes this announcement, but it's still the Christ Mass, right? It's still a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. What could be bad about that?
No, we don't say Christ Mass. We say Christmas. It's about Saint Christopher,
okay,
an imaginary saint character invented by the pagan church.
Okay.
Of the Dark Ages.
St. Christopher is, of course, not a real person, and we agree with that. But Paul Spears, have you ever thought of St. Christopher when you were dealing with Christmas?
No, I have never thought of
when people
is that
sing...
part of the fact? Is that how we've been duped? Is that is
well,
that...
Paula, I don't know if they teach logic at Biola University. But...
It's Biola, and his name is Paul.
Biola. Oh, I'm sorry, John. Well, I don't know if your unibrow listeners take logic classes.
That's middle brow.
Okay. If you're going to keep interrupting me.
If you're going to get it wrong.
Before the founding of this Mass of St. Christopher by Emperor Pope Julian the Apostate of Norwich at the beginning of the Dark Ages.
At
the end of Bible times. There was a great pagan celebration of the sun god.
Okay, but you realize that this celebration was introduced in the 3rd century.
Yeah.
B.C.
After, no,
no.
A.D.
Alexander the Great thought it up.
How do you know this? Where did you get
and
this
how could
information?
This be after Bible
most historians
times.
Think, in fact, the pagan celebration came from a pagan imitation of the early church.
You know, John, it's sad to me that you're just a tool of the Reconstructionist historians who just have overwritten all of this true stuff about how Alexander the Great started, perhaps you've heard of Hellenization.
Yes.
He started this process of worshiping the great sun god across the entire so-called Roman, so-called empire.
Wait, wasn't he Greek?
And he lived hundreds of years before the Roman Empire.
He was great. He's not Alexander the Greek. He's Alexander the Great.
So he's...
Look, I don't have time to go into all of this, but the fact is there's worship...
Because he's from Macedonia, right?
Okay, so... no, Paul, it is important. Let him finish.
There's worship of the sun god where the pagans came creeping out of their little hovels and saying, oh, the winter, the angry sky god is mad at us, and it will stay winter, and the snow will never melt.
Would this be the same... pagans that built like the pyramids out of their hovels?
There are lots of fine distinctions within pagans, but okay. Yeah,
these are bad pagans and you're opposed to them. Now, I mean, here, look, maybe we can establish some common ground. Nothing makes me madder than when the church compromises biblical language, biblical authority in order to get along with pagans. But of course, another job we're called to do is straighten the crooked. To make culture reflect the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, to save what's good in a culture that's bad. So not every idea that non-Christians have would be bad, right? Do you drive a car?
Yes, I drive a car.
And
it's
not
a Christian car.
Okay, but not everyone involved in inventing every part of your car was a Christian, were they?
Not in the inventing, but in the manufacture.
It's Chrysler.
So you got your car from a Christian manufacturer. Can you tell us the name of this manufacturer? I mean, I would
so
like to support my brothers
wrong?
And sisters in Christ.
It's a major Christian car manufacturer back east.
Okay.
Is it
anyway,
close to your major seminary that you teach at?
Yes, the Independent School of Seminary Preaching.
For those of you listening, okay. This is Paul Spears and John Mark Reynolds interviewing Charlie Chuck Chuckelman, who is professor of seminary preaching at a school for seminary preaching somewhere back east.
In an undisclosed location.
Okay, so let's get to the traditions of Christmas. One of my favorite things to do with the family. Paul, give us a favorite tradition. I've talked a lot.
Always before we go to bed on Christmas Eve, we sit around and we read the Christmas story out of Luke.
Yeah, there's nothing to object to about that, right? Luke chapter 2?
No, as you sit beside your pagan tree, your Asherah pole that you set up, and you put your pagan presents around in front of it.
Wait. We know, now this is just true, in our family, because we keep his picture up because we like him, it was the Protestant Prince Albert who brought the tradition of Christmas trees into the English-speaking world. It's pretty safe to say that he never worshipped a pagan idol in his life. It's just not true. What you're saying isn't true.
And what would be pagan about a gift?
Well, first of all, the whole Prince Albert in a can routine or whatever it is that you're talking about there has really nothing to do with, if you knew your Bible better, you could just look this up in Scripture. It's clear. Asherah poles were set up throughout the Old Testament by pagan worshipers of Baal, which is actually an ancient Near Eastern word for gift wrapping, Baal. And so when you go to the mall, which rhymes with Baal, and you see free gift wrapping.
Okay, so when it rhymes, that etymologically puts the words together?
Well, the devil's very subtle. He doesn't have to get every message across, straight across.
Well, is that like Santa? And if you just change the words a little bit?
If you fellows want me to sort of find bits and pieces of your family gatherings that are not idolatrous, I could probably find some things. I mean, of course, I'm glad you're reading out of the Bible. But the fact that you're doing it.
Evil about that?
If you're expecting me to ignore the fact that you're doing it on a day set aside by a pagan emperor as an attempt to undermine Christianity at the beginning of the Dark Ages, if you're expecting me to ignore that you've got an Asherah pole in the corner, if you're expecting me to ignore the fact that you're celebrating a mass
of
St. Christopher.
In our house.
Yeah, let's get to some of the other traditions, because some of them seem very positive. So inside of our house, the first thing we do before we put up our tree, which we think of as a symbol of eternal life, mm-hmm. and our life in Christ.
Life in the sense of fertility?
No. Life in the sense of life in Christ, or... Well, you know, really, the truth is there's nothing wrong with the cycle of life. We're born, we're going to die, and then on the day of the great trumpet, we're going to rise again.
I think December 25th, in the middle of the deep, dark winter, is a great day for you to celebrate in a cult fashion fertility.
John Mark, can I ask you a question?
Ancient pagans thought so, too.
John Mark,
they would be glad to see you carrying that on.
Do you have a manger scene?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get
good.
To. The first thing we do is put out a creche. We put out a manger scene. That represents, especially when our children are very small, represented to them in pictorial fashion, what was going on at the time of the birth of Jesus.
Mm.
Now, doesn't that put Jesus in the center of our season?
Well, John, when your listeners at scripturama.com are listening to this.
Scripturium.
No,
yeah, okay. Scripturium.
Scripturama.com.
It's a place where the medievals kept manuscripts.
Do you recommend to your listeners where they can go and buy a little idol of the baby Jesus to place in their manger scene?
I think we got ours at Target, to tell you the truth, way back when in the day. But do you think every representation of someone is an idol? Is my bust of Abraham Lincoln in my office an idol?
Look, if you put a human figure of the sun god, you call him the son of God, in front of your Asherah pole on the 25th.
Do you call him the son of God?
As part of your fertility
ritual.
Is
Jesus the son of God?
Certainly. We're not talking about my practices. We're talking about your
but
attempt
let's
to
talk,
put...
Let's talk about your practices.
John, we're talking about your attempt to put a thin Christian veneer on a gigantic pagan piece of furniture.
Okay, let's talk about your practices just for a second.
Fine.
December 25th is coming up. Paradise is going to be a big party. We're going to celebrate Christ's return. Are you planning on practicing at all? Why can't we party on December 25th?
What day of the week is December 25th this year?
It's Thursday. What are you planning on doing on Thursday?
I'll skip the fact that you're talking about the day of Thor, and you expect me to believe that you're not somehow venerating Thor, the Norse thunder god, on that day.
Okay, wait.
on that particular
that
no,
on
no,
Wednesday,
no. Let's stick to the point here, John.
I actually probably venerate Loki.
Loki
on that day.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's good. I, you know, answer the absurd with the absurd. Go ahead.
On a Thursday in the middle of December, I will do what I always do on Thursday. I will get up and go to work.
And what will you do there? I mean, how will you work? Almost nothing is open. Is your school actually going to have classes?
Of course my school is going to have classes. We have classes every Thursday.
All right.
So no one in your school is celebrating Christmas?
No, not in my school.
Let me ask you a question. Are you using a radio right now?
I don't understand your
question. Are you using microphones, and will this sound, in some cases, go out over speakers like radio?
Yes, I think that you are posting it on the globalist wide web.
Yes. Aren't you therefore participating in something evil?
Yes, I have to be in the world, though not of it.
Isn't
I am
that
in your
what
computer,
we're doing
but not of it.
With
I
Christmas.
Am in the globalist wide web, but not of
Isn't
it.
Isn't that what we're doing with Christmas? Let's
no.
assume your kind of bogus history were all true. We are in Christmas, but we're not of Christmas. We're taking bad symbols and we're giving them new meaning.
John, how would I know if I was of the world? I would be of the world if, in a long tradition of pagan worship, I gathered for a fertility cult ritual in the middle of the winter with an Asherah pole in the corner.
That's how you would know.
That's when I would know I was of the world.
You
so
had
what
gone
point,
too
at
far.
What point do you cross over? Like the Asherah pole, but not the icon,
yep.
or the worshiping of the false sun god? Or the
I don't know
we
why we
the
shouldn't dismiss
god?
This fellow merely as a Scrooge. I mean, here's a good example of what Christmas can do. I mean, we have a person like Charles Dickens. He's probably not himself a believer. But there was something about Christmas that reached out to him, that changed his perspective on things, and caused him to write one of the greatest and most profound stories about Christmas ever, A Christmas Carol. Surely, at this time of year, you don't want to be on the side of the unrepentant Scrooge. You want to be on the side of a person who could start to want to attack ignorance and want, and remember the birth of our Savior.
Doesn't Christianity push against, and Christmas itself push against materialism?
I'm not really sure where to address your question. You talk as if you talk as if I should somehow like the Scrooge of the Christmas Carol.
Yeah,
yeah,
the later
changes.
Scrooge.
He realizes how wrong he is.
He's born again, in a sense, through a realization of Christmas.
Well, John, that just shows how far you are from understanding my view on things. Not only do I, of course, not support the so-called repentant Scrooge, or the one who, in fact, bends his knee to the Christmas observation, I don't even think that the Scrooge of the opening pages of A Christmas Carol had things the right way around. I mean, after all, he gives that Bob Cratchit fellow the day off, right?
Yeah, that's true, because he was not totally evil man. He wasn't some kind of Hitler of Christmas. He was only Ebenezer Scrooge. You wouldn't have given Bob Cratchit Christmas Day off.
No, of course not.
Would you have given him extra coal?
No. Why? For Thursday? What day of the year did the Mass of Christopher fall on that year?
Would you have brought toys and medicines to Tiny Tim?
You see, this is another typical example of how you're trying to focus on a small detail and find something good in a story that is itself called
A Christmas Carol.
So nothing good can be in it.
Okay. So nothing, if it hasn't been Christmas.
Is there anything good, anything redemptive? What about even some of the fun things that we do that have nothing directly to do with Christmas at the time of the year, like Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
You know, Paula, you could come over to my house and root around in my trash can and probably find something healthy and nutritious to eat in there among all the chicken bones and eggshells and coffee grounds and who knows what else is thrown in there, right? You got a big old trash can called Christmas, and you fellas are committed to looking around in it and find something good in it. It may be something good in there, okay? But it's in the trash can.
Do you think it's joyful that the Lord has come?
Yes, but why are you asking me about that at this time of year?
Because any time of year is a good time to celebrate, so why not just pick this time of year?
I would be glad to talk about it when my cycle of Bible reading comes around to Luke 1.
And how do you determine your cycle of Bible reading? Who set it for you?
I just read straight through and start over again when I'm done.
Okay, when did you begin?
When I got saved.
Is that what we should all do?
Well,
should we all behave just like you?
You mean you don't?
Well, I do read through the Bible, but should we follow your calendar or should we just follow our own individual calendar?
Well, John, I don't know what to tell you. If you're going to
So if I want you to, well, how did you end up even getting here if you don't like the calendar? I just want to know if we told you to show up on a Friday.
Would you come?
Would you come?
Would you use the term Friday?
Yes. Like I said, I have to be in the world, but not of it.
Of it. Okay.
It's clear to me where the line is. It's people like you who don't see the line, who think everyone ought to be as confused as you are.
Chums and alum.
I'm sorry if your unibrow listeners at scripturama.com are that confused too.
Chums and alum. I don't know why we did it this to you this Merry Christmas. Inviting as our guest, Charlie Chuck Chuckleman from the School of Seminary Preaching somewhere back east. But Charlie Chuck Chuckleman, this is John Mark Reynolds for Middlebrow, a service of Scriptorium Daily. We put you through the digital martyrdom.